from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. I often think of myself as fairly open-minded when it comes to entertainment, but I will confess that I'm not a fan of horror films. I've never liked being in a state of perpetual terror, and bracing for some hideous beast to jump out of the darkness. But I do understand why people like the genre. Horror movies play into the fear a lot of us have of uncertainty. And for some, it's better for a film to make us feel unsettled and scared compared to being anxious about current events, the weather, or financial calamity. Yet, I believe that Missouri Republicans likely side with me lately on disliking horror movies because, and excuse the shoehorned metaphor here, their bid to redraw the state's congressional districts is becoming more and more and more and more of a logistical nightmare. The legislature's decision to pass a new map in September aimed at ousting Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver sparked a flurry of lawsuits, as well as an effort to place the new redistricting plan up for a statewide vote. And GOP political consultant John Hancock explained to me that there's a lot of uncertainty about whether the new lines will be swiftly implemented.
Well, we've not been through this before, at least in my memory, which is pretty far back. And so I think we're going through something for the first time, and you've got a lot of cross currents in play. The attorney general's involved now, and then you've got multiple pieces of litigation, and you got a potential ballot initiative. So, I think my own personal opinion, Jason, is that I'll be surprised if come filing in February, if this thing is resolved in such a way that the new lines are governing.
In fact, I would go a step further. It's looking increasingly likely that the new map will not be in place in time for the 2026 midterm election cycle. And here's why. When lawmakers approved the redistricting plan last month, it did not have enough support to go into effect right away. That meant that redistricting opponents could try to gather at least 106,000 signatures by mid-December to place the proposal up for a statewide vote in November 2026. And as Richard Von Glahn of the group People Not Politicians explained, just getting the signatures would be monumentally significant.
When we turn in more than enough signatures that we will need to qualify the referendum, then the map is put on hold until there is a vote on this. The election date that we would get would be November of 2026. The General Assembly, not the governor, not the Secretary of State, the General Assembly could pass a concurrent resolution, I believe, to move that election date. But there are certain deadlines that need to be met in making sure that voters have enough time, that election authorities can do that, that our military members overseas get an opportunity to vote. So they can't just do that willy-nilly.
Von Glahn is not wrong. Moving the referendum date before filing ends on March 31st, 2026 is basically impossible, especially since state law requires roughly 10 weeks between when an election is called and when it happens. Even if the legislature rearranged heaven and earth to move the referendum date on the first day of the 2026 session in January, the earliest they could schedule an election is the middle of April. And even if it was possible to move the referendum from November 2026 to March 2026, several lawmakers I spoke with don't seem to be that interested in engaging in that highly contentious legislative maneuver. House Speaker Pro Tem Chad Perkins of Bowling Green says that having the referendum in the spring would almost guarantee a low turnout election. That would mean redistricting opponents energized against the map could have a big advantage.
I would have just my own personal opinions, right? I always prefer a larger turnout election because it gives you a better feel for what the citizens of Missouri as a whole are thinking, right? Why would you do it in March or April when you get 15, 16% turnout, when you could do it later on that year and get 60% turnout?
So the bottom line here is if detractors of the new map collect enough signatures, then the new lines will almost certainly not go into effect during the 2026 election cycle. This would defeat the entire crux of the national Republican redistricting push, drawing enough GOP-leaning seats to prevent the Democrats from capturing the U.S. House next year. And it's looking increasingly likely that people, not politicians, will collect enough signatures. Just this past week, the group announced that they had more than 150,000 signatures, and they still have more than a month to get more. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck of South St. Louis County says that Republicans clearly miscalculated about how much public opposition there was to the redistricting plan.
And people want to fight back, and they're tired. They're tired of this power grab. It's just a blatant power grab. They're tired of people. They're tired of the Republican Party cheating and changing the rules in the middle of the game.
Perhaps the only hope among Republicans is that Secretary of State Denny Hoskins and Attorney General Katherine Hanaway place enough roadblocks to prevent the referendum from going to voters. Hanaway filed a lawsuit in federal court contending that a referendum unconstitutionally yanks the right to redraw districts away from the legislature. And Hoskins is saying that signatures gathered before mid-October won't count toward the final tally.
According to my interpretation, Missouri's referendum process is outlined clearly in the Constitution as well as state statute, and signatures collected before official approval are invalid and should not count toward the legal requirement.
Now, it should be noted that officials with People Not Politicians strongly dispute what Hoskins said there, and they're fighting in court to make sure that roughly 100,000 signatures gathered before October 15th count. Chuck Hatfield, an attorney with People Not Politicians, says that both Hanaway and Hoskins' maneuvers are desperate.
I think the whole thing's outrageous. I think we have state officials in a full-blown tantrum about the right of the people to overrule these congressional districts, which the people are guaranteed in the Constitution.
Hatfield also took major issue with a news release from Hoskins' office implying that gathering signatures before a referendum proposal was approved could bring about criminal penalties.
That is ridiculous. I've sent two emails and left two voicemails with the Secretary of State's Deputy General Counsel saying, tell me what statute would make it a crime and I will advise my client accordingly. No response, because there is no such statute. This is blatant attempts to intimidate and to deny people, not politicians, and the folks Richard's working with, their right to petition their government.
Hoskins eventually walked back from that contention. In any case, this festering discord about the future of the redistricting plan is prompting some introspection among Missouri Republicans. State Representative Bryant Wolfen is a St. Genevieve Republican who voted against the redistricting plan. He says that before the special session began, he didn't know that putting the map up for a statewide vote was even possible.
And I guarantee the majority of the caucus did not as well. Did leadership? I really don't know about leadership. I don't know if it was really thought that far in advance. To be honest, it was kind of rushed down. Obviously, I think it's pretty clear that most of this came from the federal level. I'm not going to sit here and preach on what did and what didn't, because I wasn't involved in those conversations. But I think just given how fast all this was kind of rushed through.
What Wolfen is alluding to is how President Donald Trump and his administration have been pressuring GOP-leaning states like Missouri to redraw their districts ahead of next year's election cycle. He says the complications over implementing the new map should provide pause to his colleagues about taking orders from the federal government.
don't just listen to what they're doing at the federal level. Don't just, you know, we are sovereign states. We are independent states. We are allowed to be able to voice our own opinions. And we can we certainly do not have to pander to what they need at the federal level. You know, look at the whole picture.
But others like Senate President Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin were not surprised that Democrats in particular were fighting back against the map with lawsuits and the referendum.
I mean, people understand that the number of representatives that you have in Washington can make a huge difference. And, you know, I guess I don't have to remind you or really anybody listening to this, the current environment, everything is war. So I'm not surprised when, you know, shots start getting fired.
Interestingly, O'Loughlin and other Republicans I talked to haven't really gotten much direct blowback from their constituents. She says she has no regrets about pushing the map through the Senate, which included using a parliamentary maneuver to end a Democratic filibuster.
You know, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight. And I think that's why people ultimately said, well, we need to at least try to do whatever we can to maintain the majority. Now, if it were, you know, some other topics that we just couldn't agree on, but kind of we were sort of close, it wouldn't take on such a radical feel. But the people in Washington in the Democrat Party are radicals.
State Representative Jim Murphy of South St. Louis County also doesn't regret voting for the new map, even though he conceded it wasn't particularly high on his priority list.
Well, I wish I hadn't had to vote for it, but I don't regret my vote, no. I mean, I see what other states have done, and it's appalling. Tit for tat is not a good way to run a state or a country, for that matter. But unfortunately, it's the environment we're in.
If voters do decide on the fate of the new map next November, Republicans are somewhat optimistic that it will be approved and then be in effect for the 2028 election cycle. After all, Missouri Republicans have basically won every statewide election since 2016 and hold commanding majorities in the Missouri General Assembly. But Hancock, the GOP consultant, says his fellow Republicans should not get complacent, especially since Democratic groups are pouring a lot of money into the referendum effort. People Not Politicians has raised nearly $3 million in large donations since September, and the Democratic National Committee has promised money and organizational manpower to help get the referendum over the finish line.
Somebody's going to need to put some money behind it, though, because the voters' natural inclination in Missouri is to vote no. And so you'd have to have enough resources behind it to get the message out to communicate to the GOP voters that, hey, we got to go vote for this map, you know. And I'm not saying there's no funding for it, but I'm not aware of any funding for it.
All of this uncertainty points to one thing. Mid-decade redistricting was a lot more complicated than Missouri Republicans thought it would be.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.